Another Arab nation undergoing a tricky transition in 2012 is Egypt. The revolution there toppled former President Hosni Mubarak back in February, but in many ways a transition to something new has only just begun. The country's military remains in control. Recent parliamentary elections produced a win for Islamist parties. But which of those two powers plays the upper hand in drafting a constitution is still up in the air. In the meantime, Egypt's instability and the global recession have combined to halt the country's once-growing economy. And the country's workers, key participants in the revolution, are feeling unrepresented. Ben Gilbert sent us this report from one of Egypt's port cities on the Suez Canal, Port Said.
Port Said sits on the northern Mediterranean coast of Egypt. The seafront boasts wide, sandy beaches lined with fish restaurants. Offshore, dozens of tankers and freight ships wait to make the trip through the Suez Canal about a mile away. Mohsen Abdelgade works as a crane operator at the port here. He, like many workers in Egypt, has a lot to complain about these days. Wages are low, inflation is high, and unemployment stands at around 10%. So Gade knows exactly why he's going to the polls. I'm voting for better living standards, democracy, and freedom of opinion, he says. I'd also like better pay and better health care. But few parliamentary candidates have made these issues front and center. It's surprising, since 20% of Egyptians live below the poverty line, and Egypt's 4 million industrial workers have struggled for years to create a national minimum wage. The Egyptian electoral law even allocates 50% of the parliamentary seats to workers and farmers. Bakr Hassan Bakr is a labor activist and lawyer in Port Said. We didn't have time to make our own party or to organize behind any one candidate, he says, and none of the parties represent workers. He continues, the parties didn't consider the labor constituency when making their platforms. The workers haven't even been part of the political debate. The apathy toward workers' issues isn't a fluke. While there have been unions here for decades, the country's dictatorial rulers outlawed organizing in the Western sense. The state-run labor unions were the only ones allowed until just a few years ago. Hussam Hamlawi, a leftist activist and member of the newly created Democratic Workers' Party, says from the very beginning, state-run unions offered few benefits.
In 1957, Mob Nasser established the so-called General Federation of Trade Unions that has been acting from its day one as the state's arm when it comes to mobilizing the working class and the state's arm in controlling the working class. The membership has been obligatory. It's not like you have a choice. They deduct the membership fees out of your salary every month.
After Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak was ousted earlier this year, the new government allowed independent unions. There are now nearly 150. But human rights activist Hossam Bagout says they're still in an embryonic stage and were unable to affect the elections.
They are fighting for better work conditions, for the right to organize independently, and they have been truly consumed in this fight. And I don't think they have really contributed in a way we expected in the broader national political scene.
Organization has been key so far in Egypt's parliamentary elections, and, as expected, religious parties are dominating. The Muslim Brotherhood has won around 40% of the vote, and the ultra-conservative Salafi parties 25%. Both groups have long-established social and charitable networks. The parties did pay lip service to workers' issues and ran on platforms of social justice that appealed to many poor and blue-collar voters. Hassan Bakar, the Port Said labor activist and lawyer, says the Islamists' messaging, networking, and years of charity work have distorted voters' ideas about what's good for them and for Egypt. These are the slogans that every single party uses and everybody's saying. But what do they mean by social justice? The Muslim Brotherhood uses that vague slogan like they do their charity. The party gives people cooking oil, rice, bread, and social justice. But from the leftist perspective, what I view as the honest way, our vision is to give people work, equal chances of getting good jobs, and equality before the law, he says. But the Muslim Brotherhood says they do have plenty of plans to improve Egypt's economy. Mohamed Kudari is a Brotherhood official in Port Said. He says, the first thing we would do is to have schools to teach people industry. We tried this with a school called Mubarak School. It used to train the students to work in a factory, and then after that, they would go work in factories. It worked well. The students learn something, and the factories benefit. It creates a partnership between schools and factories so they can serve each other, he says. Qadari says the Muslim Brotherhood also wants to modernize the fishing industry, which is a big part of the local economy. The Brotherhood's can-do business attitude is not surprising. The group is traditionally pro-business, but not necessarily pro-worker. They have historically been critical of strikes. Labor advocates worry a Brotherhood-dominated parliament wouldn't support legislation workers have been pushing for since Egypt's revolution. Among them are a new labor law, which would dismantle the old state-run union and enshrine Egypt's newly independent unions in the country's legal codes. For The World, I'm Ben Gilbert in Cairo.